Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, bring the earth to bless. It just ensures rejoice. Loud, exalted, righteousness and justice. Nation. Fire goes before him, brings his foes on every his rising, bless up the world. The earth sees and trembles. Mountains melt like wax. Before the Lord of playing his
give glory for the name.
Hallelujah. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah. He is worthy. He does miracles. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He does miracles. There's no one like him. So he deserves the glory. We are excited. We were at the church building yesterday, and we had a good time in the Lord. Glory to God, a good time in the Lord. And it's back. Good to be back in the building. Hallelujah. After surgery. Father, we thank you. We praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for granting us a new day in the land of the living. O God, we ask that you clear our esophagus, O God, from this phlegm, that we be able to speak clearly all over the world, that would hear this word, would receive it with clarity. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We're going to be doing part two of Joseph reveals his true identity. We're supposed to do this last week, but we're going to do it today. And we want to go into the Genesis, the book of Genesis, chapter 44 and 45. These should be the only scriptures. I will call up some other scriptures as I'm going, but these are the two books that we're going to focus on so that we can get some things down on paper in your notepads for the kingdom. That makes sense? Okay. In this book, Father, we ask you to speak to us and speak through us, O God, as we yield to you. We ask your forgiveness, we ask your mercy, and we ask your grace. We ask you to continue to heal Pastor Brown as he received those two new stents, which means he has three stents in all now. We ask that you continue to heal him. Strengthen his wife, Evangelist Brown, that as she take care of her husband, and help her to adjust the meals that she give to her husband, that it would not build up more plaque. Oh, Father, we pray for Apostle Stewart and Pastor Joyce Stewart, that you continue to strengthen them and you continue to heal their ministry. You add to their ministry. God, we pray for Apostle Linda Washington and Bishop James Washington for their ministry, their prayer ministry, that you continue to add to their prayer ministry and you continue to strengthen them. Heal the Apostle Washington, oh God. Heal her knees. Heal her back. Heal her eyes and her ears, oh God. We pray for Brother Deacon Fraser. We pray for his ministry. We pray for his mother's ministry. We ask, Father God, that you continue to add. You continue to strengthen, continue to give them the tenacity that they need, oh God, to go forth in your name, Jesus, because we know that you are the only one that gives us what we need to do, what we need to do. Father, we ask you to continue to watch over Blog Talk Radio, even as I heal and get stronger each day to get back in full force of doing what we do for the kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Here, we did a little bit of this last week, but here in the book of Genesis chapter 42, the Bible says that then he commanded the one who was over his household, saying, fill the sack, fill the sacks of the men with food as much as they are able to carry, and put each one's money in the mouth of his sack. This is Joseph speaking. He was in control of all that Pharaoh had. Pharaoh gave him total control of all. Hallelujah. The only one that was higher than Joseph was Pharaoh. Hallelujah. Because Pharaoh gave him that power. And he said, put each one's money in the mouth of the sack, and my cup, the cup of silver, you shall put into the mouth of the sack of the youngest, that's his brother Benjamin, and the money for his grain. And he did according to the word of Joseph that he had commanded. When the morning light came, the men were sent away, and their donkeys. They went out of the city and had not gone far when Joseph said to the one who was over his house, arise, pursue after the men and overtake them. Then you shall say unto them, why have you repaid evil for good? Is this not that from which my masters drink? Now he himself certainly practiced divination with it. You have done evil in what you have done. Now, Joseph has set his younger brother up. They were brothers from the same mother. The other brothers were half-brothers with Joseph. Joseph was the last child of Jacob in his old age. So Jacob loved Joseph. He gave Joseph the prettiest coat that there could be. He had it made special for Joseph. Joseph was a dreamer. So his brothers despised him because of his dreams. And then when his father gave him this fancy coat, like the father went down to Macy's or went down to Nordstrom, JCPenney, some high-class store, and he said, well, I got to pick something real fancy for my son that I had in my old age. And when he brought this coat for Joseph, his brothers saw the coat. Joseph showed him the coat, let them see the coat. Because Joseph was very compassionate. Joseph didn't hold anything back. If Joseph got something, if Joseph got a dream, if he heard something from the Lord, he shared it with his brothers, but his brothers didn't care too much for that. You know, sometimes we find ourselves saying, everything that we hear, everything that we see, we share with our friends. Sometimes we find ourselves sharing it with our family members. They don't care about your stuff. Especially when the stuff that you are sharing make you look better than them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everything you hear the old folks say, the old folks would say, everything is not for everybody. You'll hear them say that from time to time. And that's the truth. Because everybody that laughs with you is not laughing for you. Do you hear what I'm saying? People laugh, and you think they're laughing for you. But sometimes in their mind, they're wishing, how could they take your life? How could they put you away? I was watching a beggar on YouTube. It's a Nollywood movie from Nigeria. And a lady had become super rich, but then her closest friend had betrayed her in the courts. She had cars, she had houses, everything, plenty of money. And she lost everything. But she had helped one other beggar to get off the ground. And he went back to school and became a lawyer. And he got nice cars, Mercedes-Benz, everything. And he went back and plead her case for her that she could get everything. Now, I say that to say that even the one that you think is your friend, even the one that you call brother or sister, could be the same one that betrayed you, locked you up, caused you to be locked up because of jealousy, you know. Today we live in a world where jealousy seems like it's the number one thing. There's plenty of jealousy to go around. People are jealous over you because you have a nice car. People are jealous over you because you're still alive. You understand? They're jealous over you because you're still alive. If they could do anything to put you out of your life, that they don't have to see you or hear you or hear of your success, they will do it instantly. Here, Joseph devises one final test to determine his brother's true character. He hides a divination cup in Benjamin's sack of grain and accuses the brothers of stealing it, vehemently denying the charges and confident of their innocence. They promise the life of the chief. They promise the life of the chief, much to their currents, the silver cup turns up in Benjamin's sack. In response, Judah makes a passionate plea before Joseph and offers his life as a ransom for Benjamin. Now we see here that they just got outside of the city. Verse 5 says, is this not that from which my masters drink? This is what the servant was saying to Joseph, brothers. Hallelujah. He recognized the cup. Now he himself certainly practiced divination with it. You have done evil in what you have done. When he overtook them, he spoke these words to them. And they said to him, why has my Lord spoken according to these words? Far be it from your servant to do such a thing. Behold, the money that we found in the mouth of our sacks, we return it to you from the land of Canaan. Now, why would we steal silver or gold from the house of my Lord? Whoever is found with it from among your servants shall die. And moreover, we will become slaves to my Lord. Then he said, now also according to your words, thus will it be. He who is found with it shall be my slaves. But you shall be innocent. Then each man quickly brought down his sack to the ground. And each opened his sack. And he searched, beginning with the oldest and finished with the youngest. And the cup was found in the sack of Benjamin. Then they tore their clothes, and each one loaded his donkey, and they returned to the city. See, they were hoping that they would find a sack in somebody else. But it was found in Benjamin's bag. Do you hear me? The sack of the men, Joseph repeats his former ruse, but will ensure the brothers are caught this time. The Hebrew term used here, gavir, is likely borrowed from the Egyptian language, though it appears elsewhere in Jeremiah 35 and 5, Exodus 25 and 31, and verse 33 and 34, Exodus 37, verse 17 and 19. Hallelujah. Reference to silver occurs repeatedly in the Joseph story, Genesis 37 to 45, chapter 37 to chapter 45. Here, the reference conveys the irony of the situation. Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery for 20 pieces of silver, Genesis 37, verse 28. Now, Joseph uses a silver object to test them and drive them into a state of panic. Joseph plan targets Benjamin, which heightens the ensuing panic of the brothers. The narrative never states explicitly that Joseph practiced divination, although Joseph seemed to suggest that he did in verse 15. Divination often involves determining the will of the deity by using some sort of object like the cup referenced in verses 2. He communicates the incomprehensible nature of the accusation. Neither Old Testament law nor known Egyptian legal material requires the death penalty for property crimes of this nature. Jacob made a similar rhetorical assertion that was assigned to establish his innocence when Laban, his uncle, accused him of theft. Genesis 31 and 32. They are eager to prove their innocence. Joseph's brothers are eager to prove their innocence. When you get a call, when you're accused of something, you know that you are not guilty. Aren't you eager? Aren't you ready? Aren't you very eager to share your innocence, to prove your innocence? Joseph Stewart is aware of the ruse, so he does not immediately open Benjamin's sack. The steward knows, or Joseph's servant knows, that he put the cup in Benjamin's bag. And this ruse or game or plan that Joseph is working out, he is working with Joseph. They tore their clothes, a common Old Testament gesture of anguish, usually related to mourning the dead. Surely past his divination, Joseph could be represent his gift of receiving prophetic dreams and interpretation, and interpreting them, or some other form of divination, such as using the cup referenced in verses 2 for divination. Judah said, this is one of Joseph's brothers, Judas take the lead in their defense, as he had vowed to accept responsibility for Benjamin. Genesis 43 and 9, 34. He plays the longest speech in the book of Genesis. It's eloquent, yet properly differential. It reminds Joseph of the circumstances that lead to their return with Benjamin, namely the advanced age of their father. I want you to hear this. God has found the guilt of may refer to their collective guilt for stealing the divination cup. or more probably to the heinous crime against Joseph long ago. Genesis 42, verse 21 and 22. They apparently harbored guilt for the way they mistreat their brother. In whose hand the cup was found, Joseph makes Benjamin the executive, the exclusive target of the presumed punishment. You know Joseph is not going to punish Benjamin, but it's going to draw him closer to his brother. In this section, Judah recounts the events of 42 verse 10 to 12, 20. And 43 verse 1 to 5. By repeating these events and showing Benjamin's importance to his father, particularly verse 27 to 31, Judah provides the basic for his appeal in verse 33. Joseph didn't hear the brothers' conversation with their father in Canaan. So Joseph hopes that this background will cause Joseph to consider their father's best interests. I want you to see this. One went out from among me. A euphemism for death. Chapter 42 and 13. He must have been torn to pieces. 37 and 33. This is what they tell their father when they brought the coat, Joseph's coat back. He must be in hell. Chapter 37, verse 35. Your servant is pledged as surety. Chapter 43, verse 8 and 9. Please let your servant remain. This is the heart of Judah's appeal. It demonstrates to Joseph that his brothers have changed. The Hebrew word used here, ra, refers to wickedness and moral evil. Chapter 13, verse 13. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 35. Psalm 140, verse 2. But it also means calamity or tragedy. Amos chapter 6, verse 3. Psalm 71 and 20. Judah is concerned that the loss of Benjamin would bring calamity to his and Joseph's father. Joseph believes him. Now let's go into Genesis 45. Then Joseph was not able to control himself before all who were standing by him. And he cried out, make every man go out from me. So no one stood with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept loudly so that the Egyptians heard it and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? And his brothers were unable to answer him, for they were dismayed and at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, come near to me, please. And they drew near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold in Egypt. So now do not be dismayed And do not be angry with yourselves that you sold me here. For God sent me a deliverance before you. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the midst of the land. But there will be 5 more years where there is no plowing or harvest. For God sent me here. For God sent me before you. For God sent me before you all to preserve for you a remnant in the land, and to keep alive among you many survivors. So now, you yourself did not send me here, but God put me here as father to Pharaoh, and as master to all his household, and a ruler all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord over Egypt. Come down to me and do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, so that you will be near me, you and your children and your grandchildren, and your flock and your herds and all that you have. And I will provide for you there, because there are still 5 years of famine, lest you and your household and all that you have become destitute. Now behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see. It is I who am speaking to you. And you must tell my father of all my honor in Egypt, and all that you have seen. Now hurry and bring my father here. Then he fell upon the neck of his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after his brothers spoke with him, then the report was heard in the house of Pharaoh, saying, Joseph, brothers have come. And it pleased Pharaoh, his servants, and it pleased Pharaoh and his servants. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brothers, do this. Load your donkeys and go back to the land of Canaan. And take your father and your household and come to me. And I will give you the best of the land of Egypt. And you shall eat the fat of the land. And Joseph, and you, Joseph, are commanded to say this. Do this. Take wagons from the land of Egypt for your little ones and your wives, and bring your father. Do not worry about your possessions, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. This is what God will do when people come against you and think they can stop you. God opened doors for you that no one can close. God give you favor when there was no favor. God give you land when you didn't have no land. God make you rich when you were poor. And the sons of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons at the word of Pharaoh and gave them provisions for the journey. To each of to the to To each and to all of them, he gave sets of clothing. But to Benjamin, he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 sets of clothing. And to his father, he sent as follows, 10 donkeys carrying the best of Egypt, and 10 donkeys carrying grain and food and provisions for his father for the journey. Then he sent his brothers away. And when they departed, he said to them, do not be agitated on the journey. So they went up from Egypt and came to the land of Canaan, to Jacob, their father. And they spoke to him, saying, Joseph is still alive. And he is ruler over all the land of Egypt. And his heart went numb because he did not believe them. Then they told him all the words of Joseph that he had spoken to them. Hallelujah, Jesus. Computer's jumping back. They told him all the words he had spoken to them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I see this, that how it could be hard for Israel, for Jacob to believe his sons. When they just told him that after selling Joseph to the Midianites, that some wild animals got it, killed one of the lambs and bloody up the coat and brought it back to Jacob, you know, saying that some wild beast had thrown their brother apart that they didn't care for. But now they're coming telling him that he's alive. Hallelujah. Joseph, the good son. Then he sent his brothers away. And when they departed, he said to them, do not be agitated on the journey. So they went up from Egypt and came to the land of Canaan, to Jacob, their father. And they spoke to him, saying, Joseph is still alive, and he is ruler over all the land of Egypt. And his heart went numb because he did not believe them. Then they told him all the words of Joseph that he had spoken to them. And when he saw the wagon that Joseph had sent to carry him, then the spirit of Jacob, his father, revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. Can you imagine how Jacob, Israel's heart must have been? Joseph revealed himself to his brothers after a while. Was not able to control. Joseph had broken down emotionally twice before. Genesis 42 and 24. Genesis 43 and 30. And he now reached a point where he cannot continue to hide his identity from his brothers. Pharaoh and his household likely heard about the incident and its outcome later. Joseph has to tell them twice in order to penetrate his brothers. He had to tell them two times in order to get through to his brothers to for them to overcome the shock that is he. The Hebrew verb used here, Baal, describes a state of terror. 1 Samuel chapter 28 and 21, Job chapter 22 and 10, Ezekiel 7 and 27. Come near, Joseph said. The Hebrew verb used here, Nagash, meaning to come close, was used earlier to describe the brothers as they approached Joseph, Genesis 43, verse 19, Genesis 44, verse 18. And it seems the verb is used. Joseph does not approach them. They approach Joseph. Here, Joseph seeks to calm and reassure them. Do not be angry with yourselves. See, Joseph's trying to assure them, I know who you are, and you're going to get to know who I am. I already know who you are. Joseph is telling them in such a way, I know you are my brothers. You don't know who I am because I'm changed. My outer apparel is different. I look different. I am different. So his brothers are looking at him. All they're thinking about is getting food for survival. God has Joseph in position to take care of Israel. Do you hear me? And Joseph is going to identify himself, who he really is. Can you imagine the change as I'm looking at this story, too, of what I did last week? As I'm looking at this story, and I'm thinking, because, you know, when you're studying the Word of God, you got to look through the verses. You got to look through, I call it the corridor of the Scriptures. You got to look through, look down the hallway as you're looking at the Scriptures. And I'm thinking to myself that God must have done a tremendous change in Joseph's appearance. He must be done, because he's God. He can do anything he wants. And to make Joseph look different, because, I mean, if I'm away from my sister, I only have one sister. She's 88 years old. I heard she just had to be going to the hospital for one day because she didn't take her medicine. But, you know, my body's coming back together. And very soon, a few weeks, I'll be traveling to Barbados again, you know, because my body's getting back to where it's supposed to be in God. And no matter, I haven't seen her for 40 years, 20 years, 10 years. Whenever I see her, I recognize her. So you imagine that Joseph is in Egypt after they sold him to the Midianites. And the Midianites sold him to Potiphar. Now you can imagine that. How could his appearance change so drastically that his brothers didn't even recognize who he was? God. I'm looking at it in the book. God changed him so they couldn't even recognize that this is their brother that they sold. And Joseph told them to come near. They still couldn't recognize who he was. He told them, do not be angry with yourselves. Joseph does not want his brothers to live in regret. No, sometimes we people do stuff, even family members, friends, associates, and we would carry it for 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 10, for a long time, and we can't let go. People have mistreated me, abused me. You know, when I was in the hospital, I said, Lord, don't let me hold anything in my heart from over that anyone has done to me. Because if for some reason you have to call me home, I don't want to come home with a heart of unforgiveness. Ask God to forgive me. Because we hold on to stuff instead of letting go, we should be serving God. Listen to what he says. He says, come near. The Hebrew verb used here, Nagash, meaning to come close was used earlier to describe the brothers as they approached Joseph in Genesis 43 and 19, Genesis 44 and 18. In each scene, the verb is used. Joseph does not approach them. They approach him. Here, Joseph seeks to calm and reassure them. Do not be angry with yourself. Joseph does not want his brothers to live in regret. He repeated his belief that God would be behind his pain, reinforcing the sincerity of his request. 5 more years, Joseph told his brothers. Joseph acknowledged to this detail must have surprised his brothers. They've already experienced 2 years of the famine. But Joseph had to let them know, look, there's still 5 more years that are behind, that's coming. But God has put me in position to preserve you. See, in some way, Joseph is saying, look, you thought you have killed me, you thought you had sold me to strangers, but selling me to strangers put me in the right place that I needed to be to take care of you. God is just so awesome. Joseph told them, don't be angry with themselves. Joseph acknowledged of this detail must have surprised his brothers. Joseph repeats his belief that all that has happened is God's work. This phrase connects what happens to Joseph to the preservation of the family of promise, Jacob, now known as Israel, and his son, who would become the 12 tribes of Israel. God has a plan for each one that he's called. Sometimes it don't always go the way we want it. We have to go through some stuff. It's going to come to fruition. In Egyptian literature, titles similar to this ones are attributed to Egyptians other than just Pharaoh. It is used for the Pharaoh's physical father, tutor, and father-in-law. The title could also be used as an honorary title for someone who incur special favor from the Pharaoh, which likely describes Joseph's case. Master of all his household and a ruler over all the land of Egypt. You shall God to take you from the pit. Take you from the pit to the palace, but on your way to the palace, you have to go into the prison. You have to go into the dungeon. Sometimes we are trying to figure, why I got to go through all this? Why is this happening? I don't have this. I don't have that. But we don't see that God is working it all out for our good and for his glory. This likely refers to the northeastern region or the Nile Delta. Here in this book, the name of Goshen is considered Semitic, not Egyptian. The presence of other Goshens in the Old Testament confirmed the term used to describe places of rich soil. Joshua chapter 10, verse 41, Joshua 11 and 16, Joshua 15 and 51. While the exact location of Goshen is unknown, it can be approximately correlated with the eastern Nile Delta. It is I who am speaking to you, Joseph speaks to his brothers in their native language. Having removed all others from the scene in Genesis chapter 45, Joseph commanded all the servants that was under his command to leave the room because Joseph wanted to identify himself to his brothers who mistreated him. Do you hear me? The very ones that abused him, put him in the pit, wanted to kill him, lied to their father about him, almost gave their father a heart attack. He wants to make himself known to them. Man, this is so powerful. He wants to make himself known to them. His ability to speak their language affirms that he is who he claims to be. It pleased Pharaoh. See, Pharaoh loved Joseph. Because Joseph had a talent that was given to him from God. All of Pharaoh's fancy musicians, they could not answer Pharaoh's need. But Joseph let him know that his God was able, not him, he said his God was able to give Pharaoh the interpretation. That's what I like about Joseph. Not so we preach, you got to be preaching, now we're saying I doing this. There's no God in I. You know, all we do is I. These preachers don't want to stop and honor God by having service on the Sabbath. They don't want to do it. They can stop church for one day. All over the world, all these preachers can say, look, we're not going to have church on Sunday. We're going to have church on Saturday. Matter of fact, we're going to start from sundown Friday because that's when the Sabbath begins, from sundown on Fridays. We're going to stop following the Catholics. But the preachers believe they're doing God something. But as I look at it in Exodus chapter 20, we are disobedient to God. All preachers disobedient to God. They're preaching sound doctrine, they don't know that. But if you disobey one commandment, you're considered disobedient. God been showing me that in the hospital. I told the pastor that came and looked for me a couple of times. I told him, I said, man, God said that the whole church all over the world need to repent. Not they're going to end up in hell. Preaching the gospel, but you're disobedient to God. We're doing what the Pope says, not what God. We rather honor man. Peter says, should I honor men or God? But we today, in the world we live, we rather honor the bishop, the apostle, the evangelist, the prophet, the prophetess, the teacher. We rather honor man than God. And all they say, look, I'm going to have church on Saturday. I mean, if you have church 7 days a week, that's fine. But you say, well, I'm going to have church on Saturday. If you come to church, you come. If you don't come, that's fine. I listened to a bishop last night from Nigeria, and he came to the United States to do a revival for some other African guy. Nice church too, nice building. And so when he come to the church the night that he was going to preach, there was only one person at the revival, for the revival. And the pastor asked him, he said, what you going to do? Because it's the people, he said, I told all the people that you were coming from Nigeria and the kind of preacher you are, an anointed man of God, servant of God. He says, and the people decided to do something else. Nobody showed up. And the preacher says, well, that's okay. You are here. And one more person, he says, well, I'm going to preach. And he preached the gospel. And there was a woman there but had a case in the court for immigration. So he asked the woman, says, are you going to come back tomorrow night? This is just us. She said, I'm not sure that I'm coming back because I have a judgment on me. So he says to her, you have a judgment on you, but mercy is also on you. You see, mercy supersedes judgment. We see it at the cross. Mercy supersedes judgment. And he told the woman, he says, don't be afraid. You go to the court. And God will tell you what to say. And you will come to church. So she showed up the next night. Because she told the man, the judge asked her, why is she here? And she told the judge that her mother, she was the one who takes care of her mother back in the country. And if she go home, I don't have any papers to give you to judge. She said, if I had papers, I wouldn't be here. She told the judge, I'm asking for mercy. The very word that the preacher told her. She said she asked the judge for mercy so many times that the judge had the papers in front of him of judgment. But mercy supersedes judgment. The judge could not read the papers of judgment because mercy was in action. He took to the woman's lawyer and said, look, there's a way you can work this out, and there's a certain window you go to and get the papers that you need to balance out everything for this woman. And when you get them, come back before me. He said, this church, this case is adjourned until you get the right papers. God extended only one person at the revival, and God gave her mercy. She was supposed to be deported from the United States of America. God grant her mercy. God put Joseph in position in Israel. Not just his family, but the whole of Israel. They didn't know that there was going to be a famine for 7 years. There was going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. Because why? They didn't want to hear the dreamer. So the dreamer had to go playing the famine too and the harvesting time to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh made him ruler over everything that he had, all the land of Egypt. He made Joseph. And nobody could do anything unless they consult Joseph, the man of God, the servant of God. The Bible says, I who am speaking to you, Joseph speaking to his brothers. Joseph speaks to his brothers in their native language. Having removed all others from the scene. We saw that in Genesis 45:1. His ability to speak their language affirms that he is who he claims to be. Pharaoh approved of Joseph's wish to move his family to Egypt. It refers to the abundance that the land or soil offers. You shall eat the fat of the land. Joseph is in position to take care of his brothers and sisters, even the ones that despise him. Do you know God will put you in position to have folk that don't care for you? They don't care nothing about you. If you can die tomorrow, they will rejoice today. If you are on the verge of dying tomorrow, they rejoice today. But God said, no, you shall not die but live to declare the works of the Lord. This is what God's saying. The Bible says Pharaoh approved of Joseph's wish to move his confinement to Egypt. Do not worry about your possessions, Pharaoh tells them. Do not worry about transporting their belongings, only their people. He agreed to give them the best of the land, which will far outmatch anything they can bring. God has a plan for you and I. mean, he had a plan. But we might have to go through some things before we see the fruition of the plan. Hallelujah. You say, oh, why it seems like I can't pay this bill? Why it seems like I can't get this? Why it seems like all this stuff is going on? I came to the hospital and one of my running boards on my truck, the one on the passenger side. And it does that every year. And it get real cold, it stops. And I said to my granddaughter, pick up from work, I said, look, I'm going to have to go on Amazon and order the motor and the clamp and all that stuff, bracket. And we got to border because they have a card with $1,000 on Amazon from Chase Bank. But then I had to look back. I said, put it on anywhere. Not now. I'm not going to pay somebody $600 to do it when I can do it myself. Why can't? Because my chest is not completely healed. Within another 3 weeks, I should be good 3-4 weeks, you know. So I said, I'll wait that time. This morning I went out there. And it's a little warm yesterday, a little warm today. It's going to be, the snow supposed to come tomorrow. And I open the door. I spray some WD-40. The running board is opening, but it's still slow. No, God, if you just wait on God, don't try to go ahead of God. God will make provision for you that you can't make for yourself. I'm telling you what I know. When the doctor released me on Thursday, he says, Mr. Callender, you can drive again. He said, Rev, you can drive again. Just don't lift up anything over 20 pounds. Give your chest a chance to heal. He said, the outside is healed beautiful. I mean, he said, your outside is on your chest, your belly, oh, where they had to put the tubes on my belly. He says, everything heals so beautiful. And I'm using this special cream or whatever you call it to bring back the color. He said, everything is just healing so beautiful. Your neck is healing beautiful. He said, but inside still has to heal. You know, because every time you move your hand, you're moving some muscles, some ligaments and all that stuff. I said, well, praise God. Got to trust God. Don't try to move ahead of God. You're I'm going to go and eat the car. I'm going to pull off that running board. I'm going to put, no, don't do that. You will find yourself back in the hospital worse than you are. So I had to make adjustments. So he told me we'd eat the fat of the land. Don't worry about your possessions. God said, look, see, son, we want to carry everything that we have. Everything that we have, we want to pick up. God said, I'm going to give you better than what you have right now. I am going to give you better than what you have now. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? God going to give you better than what you want to. I got to get the donkey. I got to get the cow. I got to get the chicken. I got to get the horse. I got to get everything. I got to get the pig. I got everything you want to carry. You got a big old trailer in the back carrying everything. God said, you got to leave some stuff behind. Why do you got to leave some stuff behind? Because there's some people that behind that can't come. Do you hear me? There's some folk that behind that can't come. They can't come to Egypt with you. They don't have the transportation to come to Egypt. God said, leave some stuff behind. Leave some stuff. Matter of fact, God wants to leave the majority of stuff behind for those folk. Because I'm going to give you new stuff. Here in this book here, he told them, don't worry about the possession. Pharaoh tell them that. He gives set of clothing. This echoes the beginning of the saga. When Joseph or Israel gave a new garment to Joseph. Genesis 37:23. Give him his new coat. The Hebrew word used here is not the same word used for Joseph's robe. But the connection is evident. Benjamin. Joseph's favorite Benjamin. His full blood brother. See, Benjamin came from Joseph's mother. Two last children he had that Jacob or Israel had. And Joseph was very close to Benjamin because he was his full brother. It wasn't the rest was half brothers and sister. But this Benjamin was a full blood brother. Same mother, same father. That's why Benjamin didn't want them to kill him. Do not be agitated. The Hebrew word used here, rigor, often means to tremble. Statement may reflect Joseph's desire for them to have a safe and uneventful journey. It may also indicate suspicion on the part of Joseph that the brothers will argue about the role in his past sufferings and the consequential guilt. Joseph desired neither of these. Sometimes we look back too much on our past. We spend more time looking at our past mistakes or errors. We can't even see where we are. I told the folk we had in the church, I said, we are too busy focusing on the past. And we can't even deal with the present. And if you can't deal with the present, how are you going to ever handle the future? Because we are stuck in the past. Everything from the past bothers us. We bring it, look, nobody don't have to bring it up. We bring up the past ourselves. Hallelujah. We are focused on the past all day long. Although Jacob would have likely asked, there is no indication here or elsewhere that Joseph or his brothers ever discussed with Jacob the story of how Joseph ended up in Egypt. The depiction here of a father who thinks only of seeing his son, long presumed dead, only he recovers from the shock of learning that Joseph is not only alive, but at the apex of power in Egypt. Jacob does not hesitate to make the journey. Jacob is ready to see his son, the one who was dead, but is now alive. He saw the wagons, the caravan from Egypt, convinced Jacob that his sons are telling the truth. Joy soon replaced his initial sense of shock. This is what it's all about. We want to be to that place where we experience the joy of the Lord. Nehemiah on the wall building. And his friends, his enemies, they want to distract him. They want to distract him from building. Let me tell you that sometimes your friends, your people will come and try to distract you by bringing up your past. So you get so focused on your past, you don't even see where you are. Joseph identified himself, his real identity, to his brothers. Not only that, but he sent messages to his father to come see him. Joseph is in an epic position. He is in a super position of authority. He wants his father not just to come and see the position that he's but he wants to take care of his father. This is what Joseph wants. He wants to take care of him. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. We thank you for those that came on and heard some of the word that you gave us today. We pray today, Lord God, that you will give us much more for tomorrow. We ask, O God, that you continue to watch over us, that you continue to keep us, that you continue to shield us. Bless us to hear, bless us to see, bless us to know, Lord God, and bless us to do. We ask, Father God, that you release the anointing, O God, in the atmosphere for those that don't know you as Savior, those that don't know you as Lord. We pray for India, pray for China, pray for Japan, Afghanistan, Iraq, and Iran. We pray, God, for Egypt. Yes, Lord. We pray for Israel and Jerusalem. We pray for all those that are out there that are facing tyranny right now. There's so wars all over the place, Lord God. But we know that you're still in charge. We know that you are in charge. You know, when men think that they're in charge, we know that you are in charge because you are God all by yourself. We ask you, Father God, to touch those that don't know you and those that know you. We ask you, God, that you draw them closer. Draw us closer, Lord God, because the preacher said we're not there yet, but we are. We are in perilous times, which means that we are going through some stuff, and we're going to go through some stuff. So we ask you, God, to draw us closer. And Father, we ask, O God, that you draw others to you that don't know you as Lord and Savior, and that they would surrender completely their, oh God, heart, mind, body, and soul to you, Lord God. That they wouldn't just open their mouth and say, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, but they'll begin to live a sanctified life. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. The Bible says that. Peter says in Acts 2 and 3, let every one of you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And it said that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. See, God wants us to save. He said that this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now you understand, men, deeds are evil. Hallelujah, glory to God. Everything that seemed good to you doesn't mean it's going to be good for you. Hallelujah. The Bible says that God commanded his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah, glory to God. While we were yet sinners, we were in it. We were smack dead in it. We were like a painter with paint all over us. As much as we tried to keep away from the paint, it was still getting on us. And God says he sent his Son. The Bible says he sent his Son to die on a cross for us, on an old rugged cross. He died for us, gave his life. He paid a debt for you and I, for us, that we owed and we could not pay. But this morning, if you don't know him, just say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I denounce Satan and all of his agents. I am a sinner recognizing that I am in need of a Savior. So today, this morning, this afternoon, oh God, I'm asking you to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Deliver me, Father. Set me free this day that I might live to serve you. Help me to walk in that righteous path, that holy path. Jesus, help me to acknowledge the Sabbath day as a day of rest, a day that is holy unto you. I ask, Father God, that you use me this day and each day, oh God, to declare your truth. We ask, Father, touch Minister Jones, touch the Prophetess Kersey, touch Brother Deacon Fraser, touch Minister Brown, Pastor Brown, Evangelist Brown, Lord, touch Apostles Washington, Bishop Washington, Pastor Stewart, and Pastor Joyce Stewart, Apostle Stewart. Lord, we ask you to do in this ministry, in all the ministries, Lord, not just this ministry, but touch every ministry and draw the preachers, the ministers, the elders. Oh, God, draw them to you, Lord, that they will get a better understanding, God. And if you say a prayer and you believe that you have given your life to Christ, you have just received Christ Jesus, Lord. Get a Bible and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and call up a pastor, preacher, in the book of Acts. Call up a pastor, preacher that know how to baptize and tell them you want to be baptized in Jesus' name. Before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers. The reason why, because you want to have witnesses. You see, the Bible says we have a great cloud of witnesses. If we go back and look in the book, you can see we have a great cloud of witnesses. All that they have been through, we can look to and draw from. So you want people to come. You want witnesses to see you going down that liquid grave and see you coming up out that liquid grave excited and want to live for Christ. And when you come out of there, find your church that's preaching and teaching the gospel and get yourself involved in ministry. Do something for the kingdom. Matter of fact, live your life for the kingdom. God bless you all and thank God for you all. I've talked enough today, you know, but I'm feeling better in my spirit and my body, so I'm going to do a little bit more every day. God bless you, Lord. The line is open for anyone that wants to respond. Now we're going to go ahead and close out, and we will talk to you tomorrow. The Lord say the same. Well, Father God, we thank you and praise you for this day. Thank you for those that came on this morning and fellowship with us this morning, heard the word. We ask you to bless each and every one of us. Bless us in the city. Bless us in the field, Lord. Bless us when we come and bless us when we go. We pray, Father God, that you'll continue to make us the head and not the tail, that you'll set us above and not beneath. We're praying right now, God, that the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Lord God, will overtake us, oh God. We pray, Father God, for the blessings, oh God, that you said are coming so that we can help the poor, the widows, the fatherless, the motherless, the homeless, and the orphans, oh God. We thank you, Lord, that now we are getting back strength, Lord, and God, we can even do some calls if we get some no-heat calls. Now we can go out and fix heat. You know, we don't have to lift anything heavy. We can go out and fix heat and make some money to help those that are less fortunate. We ask you to bless the airways, oh God. And Lord, we ask you to bring more people to hear the word of God. Bless the church that we are in, Lord God. We pray, Father God, that you bless all the churches, all the buildings, all the body of believers. And God, we are careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And Jesus says, he says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, so let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you loved them, and Jesus only. We love you all. We bless you, Lord. And we bless the Lord for blessing you and blessing us. God bless. Bye-bye.